May I offer you a very warm welcome to our traditional candlelit carol service tonight. In a moment, we'll sing our first carol, but let's begin first with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the joyful news of Jesus, your Son, coming into this world to be our Saviour. And we pray that as we sing our carols tonight, as we hear the stories from your word read, as we remember what happened all those years ago, we pray that you would fill our hearts with peace and joy in believing these things. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So our first carol tonight is number 15. If you've got the book, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, that glorious song of old.
Our first reading this evening comes from the book of Isaiah, and the prophet Isaiah says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them light shined. For to us a son is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over the kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this."
The reading there spoke of King David, and our next carol is about David's city. It's number 25 in the carol book, "Once in Royal David's City Stood a Lowly Cattle Shed." We're now going to have the first of two items tonight brought to us by our choir.
Going to continue to read from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Before we have our next reading, we're going to sing another carol. It's 17 in the Red Books, "Joy to the World, the Lord is Come."
Reading is from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Let's stand again and sing "Silent Night, Holy Night," number 29 in the book. And it's time now to hear the second piece from our choir. Our next reading continues the narrative in Luke's Gospel. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Well, our next carol speaks of those shepherds and the message they received. It's 39 in the book, While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night. I wonder if you can imagine the shock that Mary must have felt when she first heard that message from the angel. There she was, this unmarried virgin girl, and suddenly she's told, you're going to have a son. And then, as if that isn't enough, she's told who her child will be, the Son of God. And as if that isn't enough to take in, she's told what the destiny of her child will be. He will reign forever. Your son will have a kingdom that never ends. That was such a lot to digest, wasn't it? Her head must have been spinning. Her mind must have been blown. Her heart must have been astounded. She's told of a miraculous conception. She's told the Son of God is coming to earth. And she's told that there's an everlasting kingdom going to be ruled by her child. It really was staggering. And the words that were spoken to her by the angel highlight one of the reasons why the birth of Jesus is such fantastic news, not only for her, but for us all. The nativity narratives that we find in the Bible, they tell us three wonderful things that the child was going to do. Mary was told that he will reign forever. He'd be an everlasting king. Joseph was told that he would save people. He would save his people from their sins. And Herod was told, as the prophets were quoted to him, that this child would shepherd. He would tend and look after the people of God. But we're just going to think for a few moments now about what Mary was told, that this child she was going to bear would reign forever. The angel said, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And to think about that, let's ask three questions. The first question is why? Why should we be bothered about this? Why is it good news that this child was born so long ago? Why did we need a king like him to be born into our world? And the answer is, there is no one else who could possibly be able to sort out the mess that our world is in. Now, the nation of Israel, the nation into which Jesus was born, it had had lots of different kings. And in fact, one of them was mentioned in all of the readings we've had tonight. And that was King David. But where was David when Gabriel gave that message to Mary? He was dead and gone and buried. And had he managed to secure lasting peace and security and freedom for the nation of Israel? He had not. And none of the other kings that Israel had ever managed to really change the nation and change the world for good. They all failed and they all died. David was probably the best of the lot, but he really didn't bring to this world what was needed. And you know, the same can be said about every other monarch and ruler and government that this world has ever seen. None of them can really sort out the deepest problems that we face as humanity. And none of them can usher in the kind of blessing and transformation that our world really needs so desperately. So whatever you might think of the new government that we now have in our country, it's not going to be able to put everything right. And one day, like every other government, it will come to an end. There's no government that's ever going to bring about world peace. No government is ever going to end poverty. No government is ever going to eradicate all sickness and disease. No government is ever going to establish perfect justice for all. Those things are beyond us as the human race to bring about. And that's why all of us need a better king, a better ruler, a better government than anything this world could produce. We need a ruler from heaven. We need a Lord from above. Someone who can achieve what no one else ever could. And that's why the arrival of Jesus is such marvelous news that we should all be thrilled and delighted about. Because someone has come here to establish a kingdom of love and joy and justice and peace that will never come to an end. That's why it's good news. The second question we need to think about is what? What kind of kingdom was it that Jesus came here to bring? Well, what was it that the angel said to Mary? He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That's different from all the other empires and countries and governments and kingdoms you can find out about in history. Jesus will never have a successor. He'll never need to hand on his crown down to somebody else. It's not one of those fragile, unstable, temporary kinds of kingdoms that he rules over. It's one that endures forever. And when you read about what the Bible says elsewhere about this kingdom, it really is almost too good for words. So in one part of the Bible, a letter written to some Roman Christians, we're told what the kingdom of God is all about. It's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And those are the things this world of ours desperately needs. That's what I need. That's what you need above all the other things we might long for. And those are the things which Jesus provides for in his kingdom that he came here to set up. So we need righteousness, because isn't there so much corruption in the world around us and so much corruption within our own hearts? Jesus said quite bluntly on one occasion that out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. That's quite a list, isn't it? We need someone who can come and take all of those things away. And we need peace, don't we? Because isn't there so much conflict and strife in the world around us? And isn't there often such discontent and restlessness in our own hearts, along with the pangs of guilt? We need someone who can fill us up with a gladness and a delight that not even death will be able to extinguish. And we need joy, because aren't there so many causes of pain and sorrow in our world? And there's often fear and a troubled heart within us. We need someone who can bring us to God, that we might draw our joy down from him into our own lives. And these are precisely the things which Jesus brings into people's experience through his rule. How does he bring them? Well, first he had to die upon the cross. Now, there are lots of occasions when subjects have died for their king on the battlefield. But here is a king who died for his subjects, and rebel subjects at that. People who had broken all his laws, people who didn't deserve his favour, people who'd messed up and failed, and it was those kinds of people that Jesus went to that cross for and laid down his life. He gives himself up for them. He takes all their guilt upon himself. He suffers the punishment that they deserve so that we can go free. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross. He was passing through the judgment that we ought to face for our sins. But he loved us, and so he chose to spare us from that by dying in our place. And then he rose again so that death doesn't need to hold us in its icy grip any longer. He came to break the power of death so that we could have everlasting life instead. He gets our death and judgments, and we get life and glory in return. And he then went to take up his throne on high and reign from his Father's right hand in heaven. And when we accept him as our king, then all his blessings begin to enter into our own experience. We are declared righteous in God's eyes. He doesn't look at our sin anymore or take it into account. And his peace and joy come into us as well. But what about that longed for worldwide peace? What about the end of poverty and sickness and crime and corruption? What about universal judgments? Well, actually, those things will come when the king returns. Jesus said that he would come a second time, not as a fragile crying baby, but he would come in splendor and power and glory. And that's when he will put everything right and make this world of ours into a perfect paradise once again. That's what he promised. So why is he waiting? Why doesn't Jesus come back and do that now? It's because he's waiting for lots of other people to join his kingdom first. He's giving us the opportunity to hear about him and his kingdom, so that we can be part of it too, part of that new and better, sin-free, suffering-free world that he'll bring in one day. And that brings us to one last question, and that is, who? Who is this kingdom full of blessing, this kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy, who is it for? Who benefits from this royal reign of Jesus? What did the angel say? He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. What's the house of Jacob? It simply means God's own people, his special family, his household. Originally, that only included people from one nation, Israel. But now it's as though God has thrown open the gates of his kingdom to anyone from anywhere, all over the face of the planet, including you and me who find ourselves in this place today. You may enter. You can join God's household. You can be part of his family. You can come under his favor and blessing. How? By seeing Jesus for who he is, the rightful king of all the earth, and submitting your heart to his lordship, by embracing him as the king you need to have in charge of your life, and happily surrendering your life into his loving hands. There's one verse in the Bible that puts it like this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from your sin, saved eventually from death itself, saved from God's judgments, and brought into everlasting life. Has that confession ever come from your lips, I wonder? Are you someone who acknowledges that Jesus is the king that the Bible proclaims him to be? Because that's how we come to enjoy his blessings, in part now in this life, and so much more fully in the new worlds to come. Won't you come and bow your heart to the King of Kings? Won't you welcome him into your own life that you might enjoy that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit? Is it good news that Jesus came all those years ago in a faraway place from here? It's good news because he came to reign forever. And of his kingdom, that kingdom of righteousness, peace and joy, that beautiful, glorious, perfect kingdom, of that kingdom, there will be no end. Praise God. We're going to sing one more carol now. It's number 31, and the chorus reminds us that Jesus was born the King of Israel, the first Noel, the angel did say. And let's finish with prayer. Let us pray. Loving, gracious, merciful Father, we worship you for the gift of your Son to be our Saviour and to be our King. We're so glad that he will reign forever. He's so much greater than any other person who could rule. So kind and wise and patient and powerful and tender and forgiving and gracious and just. And we're so glad that you have given rule over the universe to him forever. We thank you that we can enjoy his blessings now, and we pray that those blessings may enter into our hearts truly by experience. And we look forward to the day when he sets up that everlasting kingdom, and eternal joy will be ours in your presence. We pray, O Lord, for those who will be lonely over these next few days, that your presence may comfort them. We pray for those who will be laid aside with sickness at this time of year. We pray for your healing hand to be upon them and for you to give them the strength which comes from above. We pray for those who are bereaved at this time, that you would minister your comfort to them. And we pray for all of us at this time, that we may remember why it was that Jesus came, and that we may place our trust and hope in him for the things we truly need: forgiveness, knowledge of you, and everlasting life, gifts for which we thank you from the depths of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.